Welcome to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. When you hear the word chronically, do you automatically associate it with chronic disease? I know we all do. It's been programmed right into us. But what if we flip that idea on its head? Let's discover how we can create chronic health in our bodies, in our minds, our finances, our relationships, and of course, in our lives. Let's jump right on in. My name's Andy, and joining me in everything is Minna.
So let's talk about today's episode. We're here in the Northern Hemisphere. So summer is definitely here and it's hot, right? And we have heat waves and heat domes and a lot of sunshine. So when I came up with this article from the New York Times, I was just really, you'll see in a second why I'm so puzzled. So the article first came out in May and it was updated in June 20th of this year. So it's pretty recent. And the title is called How to Get Absolutely No Sun This Summer. And after this, I'm going to post a link to it in the comments so you can see it for yourself. But, you know, this is basically what it looks like.
So what's wrong with getting sun, right? We all know we need the sun to generate vitamin D, right?
Yeah, I mean, so the argument for the article is about skin cancer and sunspots and sun damage and, you know, premature aging. How putting on sunscreen is not enough protection. But, I mean, look at this picture. I mean, it's just ridiculous. This is, how do you go to a beach like this?
You know, and it's so silly. You know, there's so much stress on sunscreen. And, you know, for us, we never use sunscreen. Sunscreen actually has a lot of toxic chemicals, which is actually worse if you put on sunscreen than going out in the sun. And the sunscreen is blocking the sun, but it's also blocking your body's ability to make vitamin D. So once again, you know, sunscreen doesn't always protect you in the ways you think it's going to protect you.
Yeah, I mean, the article then follows with a whole bunch of suggestions on umbrellas, sleeves, giant hats like this one, and canopies, and all sorts of stuff. So the way I see it, the article is really more about of an advertising rather than, you know, used for information. And this is from the New York Times.
New York Times, got to be true, right? You know, that's a problem when you're following news. Not everything you read is true. A lot of times they have another agenda, right? Like you said, those are pretty fancy hats you're seeing there.
That's a big-ass hat.
But let's talk about vitamin D again. You know, the way it's supposed to work is that your body absorbs rays from the sun, you know, certain ultraviolet rays, and then your body goes through this whole chemical process to turn that energy into a hormone called vitamin D inside your body. But it doesn't always work. And, you know, if you're deficient in some nutrients such as like vitamin K, you know, specifically vitamin K2, you might not even make vitamin D. And if you have darker skin, you also don't make as much vitamin D as someone that has fairer skin.
Which is why we also supplement with vitamin D. And you know, according to a study done by University of Texas in Houston, 42% of people, they are actually deficient in vitamin D. Now, low levels of vitamin D may cause anxiety and depression. And you know how they say, you know, you feel better when you're in the sun? There's some truth to that.
And there is a major difference between the suggested level of vitamin D and optimal levels of vitamin D. You know, what's the best way to explain that, Minna?
Well, I guess it's kind of like going to school, right? You can get a C plus and you pass, which is barely. That's not great. But ideally, you're going to get an A, right?
For sure. Even like a B plus is Asian fail, right? Yeah. But C plus, I remember getting quite a few of those too. Definitely, especially when it comes to your body, optimal levels of vitamin D is about 80 nanograms per milliliter. And most of you probably haven't got your vitamin D tested because doctors will just tell you, take 2000 IU and you'll be good. But if you went to get tested for your vitamin D levels, they're going to tell you that you're okay if you're right around 25 nanogram per milliliter, you know, which would probably be that C plus.
I'd rather be an A.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So vitamin D is also important to your immune system. And, you know, we're just getting over this crazy times of COVID now, but we always knew that if your vitamin level are optimal, you are actually less likely to get seriously ill, even if you catch it. And both of us has experienced it. And I can tell you from our experience, it's less than a flu.
And, you know, it's not just us saying that. There's serious studies out there now. You can Google it. Vitamin D levels actually did have better recovery, less symptoms and everything. So it's not, you know, not just hearsay, right? So definitely you want to get your vitamin D levels tested. And, you know, when we did get COVID, basically we're just tired for a day or two, right? And then I think I was training after my third day, you know, and people saying, well, you should be resting. I had enough energy to train, you know. So, you know, to really enhance your immune system, it's really so important to get you tested for your vitamin D levels and then figure out, you know, how much a supplement to bring that back up, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, they get really sick, but they see other people that is not sick at all or just barely get sick, and they don't wonder why there is. They just assume that they're just lucky or they're not unlucky. You know, they're not lucky. Unlucky or not lucky. But either way, there is a scientific way of explaining why you may be more sick than this other person is because your body is not doing what it's supposed to do. And that might be vitamin D.
And that's what the show is all about, right? We're always giving you some health tips to boost not only your overall health and your longevity, but of course, you know, the immune system's a very big part of it, right?
So you named this episode Enter the Dragon's Den. Your Chinese name has dragon in it, but this isn't about you.
The show's always about me. What are you talking about? No, it's true. My Chinese name does actually have dragon in it, but that's not why we're calling this Enter the Dragon's Den. We're calling it Enter the Dragon's Den because Bruce Lee was actually one of my favorite, you know, martial artists of all time, and one of his best movies of all time that I love was called Enter the Dragon, right? And Bruce Lee, you know, he goes to this island and then he fights everybody in all these different competitions. He fights people with Taekwondo, some people with kickboxing, some people that's karate. And, you know, for the climax, he fights someone with claws, right? But anyways, our guest this week is Professor Mark Dong from Dragon's Den Self-Defense Academy. And he's not only a specialist in one martial art, but in so many different martial arts, and he's got black belts and black sashes to prove it. So you can literally go to his martial arts tournament, you know, you can literally have a martial arts tournament right inside his dojo because he has so many different forms of martial arts.
So when we come back, Christy's going to show you her Kids Corner tip of the week, and then we're going to move on to our interview with Mark. So stay tuned.
We all hope to age gracefully so we can enjoy our later years full of energy, vitality, and good health. But so often, with age, our bodies start to show signs that things just aren't as they used to be. Our energy, skin, healing and recovery time, sleep, it all just seems to go downhill. Unless you're using LifeWave X39, the world's first product ever to activate stem cells, a true breakthrough in regenerative science that helps restore our bodies to a healthier, more youthful state. The secret? By harnessing the power of LifeWave's patented phototherapy, X39 uses light to elevate a peptide proven to signal the activation of stem cells. Think about it. These are the cells that generate and regenerate all the cells and structures of the human body. They're the building blocks for our organs, tissues, blood, and immune system. They also serve as an internal repair system everywhere. But as we age, stem cells become less effective. Their ability to repair damaged tissue is reduced. In fact, by age 60, they've slowed dramatically. But all that changes when just one LifeWave X39 patch is placed anywhere on the body each day. It's time you experience the power of X39.
Hi, everybody. Christy here. So I wanted to give you a tip for Kids Corner this week on traveling with kids. One of the best and easiest things to do is to give each one of your kids their very own travel bag. It can be this kind of bag or it can be a backpack. It doesn't really matter as long as each kid has their own. Then what you put in the bag depends on what the kid likes. So if you have a kid a reader kid, pack a book. If you have a kid who likes to write or draw or color, pack a simple notebook and some color pens or pencils that are make it fun, or coloring books with crayons. Simple. A deck of cards, great, because the kids can play games together while they're traveling. If you choose to have a device like an iPad, that's a really easy thing to put in the bag, and just make sure they have their own earphones. And last but not least, and then another really simple thing is a small pillow and a blanket. You never know if an airplane is going to be really cold. So it's always good to have a little blanket and a little pillow if they want to sleep. Last but not least, you want to pack snacks, that little snack size bags like this of healthy snacks, preferably not candy, because that tends to zoom them up high and then crash them, and then you have a whiny child on an airplane and nobody likes that. So healthier snacks that can that they like, maybe a little treat for later, but just nothing too big. But yes. So it's a simple travel hack, a travel bag for each kid. That's their carry-on. And then you get a lot of peace and quiet on your airplane trips. Okay.
Welcome back to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. I'm so happy to introduce you to Professor Mark Dong, who was born and raised actually right here in Houston, Texas. He's a lifelong martial arts and is, you know, martial artist, and is continually learning different types of martial arts. He has a black belt in Krav Maga, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kajujin, karate, I don't even know what type of karate that is, and praying mantis kung fu. He is the highest ranked Krav Maga expert for Krav Maga global in the US. And, you know, he just recently been promoted 7th Dan Black Belt for his martial arts achievement over the last 34 plus years. And of course, in addition to his martial arts training, he's also an NRA certified basic pistol instructor and an NRA certified range safety officer, and teaches certified license to carry firearms, you know, by DPS, right? So Mark, he teaches so many different forms of martial artists at the Dragon Defense, Self-Defense Academy, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Katy. Welcome to the show, Mark. There are just so many accolades. I can't even say them all, and I don't even know what type of karate that you're teaching there. How are you?
How are you? Thank you for having me on.
So you are a specialist with so many different black belts and all these different forms of martial arts. And of course, you know, you're a firearm instructor too. And, you know, lately there seems to be more and more petty theft and crime. You know, I think it's really due to the rising cost of living everywhere, right? Like everything's getting more expensive. And I remember just like last week, you know, we were just meeting at PJ's Coffee. Like there's a four of us. And of course, you know, we're all talking and you catch a police helicopter in the sky and you mentioned, hey, something's going on. Of course, you know, we thought you were nuts. We didn't say that during the time, but of course, Mark was right. You know, the Walmart literally down the block was getting robbed or something. There were basically shots fired and something happened, and maybe they're looking for the people. I don't know what it is, but, you know, Mark, in these crazy times, how important do you think it is having the ability to defend yourself, not only for you, but also for your family?
Well, because of the world we live in today, self-defense is really, really a necessity. It's almost like driving a car. We need our cars to go here, to go here, to go there. Self-defense is also the same thing. I mean, it is a privilege to learn. It is a privilege to have. We always say, you know, it's better to, you know, learn the skills that we teach you and not have to use it. And then in the event that something bad happens, well, now you don't know what to do. And now you're either getting beat up or raped or what have you. And now you're going to be reactive to the situation as opposed to being proactive. Mm-hmm. So when you learn self-defense, martial arts training, you're being proactive. So you're getting ahead of what's happening as opposed to waiting till something happens. And then, oh, well, now I need to go learn what I need to learn. Well, right. It's already too late. The bad already happened, but it's still good to go ahead and still learn it. So this way it won't happen again. And, you know, learning that is also a great way to get in shape. You know, you're a fitness trainer. You know, I like to work out and train as well. And the getting in shape when you train martial arts is a byproduct of learning the self-defense techniques, the concepts and everything. It's just a byproduct. And then also, just like with working out, the endorphins start kicking in. You know, you start feeling good. You know, we're all more, you know, happy-go-lucky. You know, everybody says I'm pretty goofy and silly, you know, but, you know, that's because I train and work out a lot. So I'm very, you know, relatable and very happy and kind of goofy from time.
You know, I think that's important. But one of the things that you said was so important is rather than be reactive when a situation happens, you want to be proactive. You want to be trained in different situations where you don't find yourself in trouble, right? So, you know, I find that, you know, I guess self-defense will boost your self-confidence in certain situations too, right?
Yes, training in martial arts and improves self-confidence. It gives you the self-esteem that you need. You know, we've had people that come in with depression, anxiety, people have been bullied. Their confidence has just been really, really knocked down. We've also had women who've been battered and abused. So domestic abuse survivors come in and training their brain to be a fighter as opposed to being a victim and being able to overcome the situations that they were put in and being able to fight through it and think through it and being able to get themselves out of the fickle.
I love that, you know, being a fighter rather than a victim, because that's all we hear all the time nowadays. Oh, you know, I'm a victim of this. You know, you're blaming everything around you that you're the victim. But here you are, you're giving the ability for people to take the hand, you know, the reins in their hands. So they're the fighter. They control the situation rather than having the situation controlled on them. So, Mark, you know, when it comes to self-defense, I know that you are a specialist in so many different types of martial arts. You know, what's the best way to start for someone that's a newbie that never done martial arts before? Do you just throw them in there with the tigers where you got the specialists, you know, the guys, your top students playing with the newbies, or how's that all work out?
So when I have a beginner come in and try out the class, I always pair them up with someone who's been training for a while. So this way they know how to guide them and show them how to, you know, how the class is going. You know, and if they need someone to sit there and chat with, you know, it gives them somebody. It's almost like a big brother, big sister kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when the ladies come in, I pair them up with one of our senior women and have them come in and take them under their wing and show them, it's like, okay, here's what we do. We bow to the mat. All right, here's how you tie your belt. You know, you tie your belt this way. And then, you know, just show them, you know, partnering up with them and showing, okay, well, this is how you do the technique. Okay, Professor Mark's going to show this now. You know, this is the way we do it, you know, and if they're having trouble trying to do the technique, they're there to help them out. It's like, okay, well, you know, you need to get your hands a little bit deeper in. So this way the choke will work better. Just those little types of things. It's very helpful for a new person to come in and be, they want to be felt like included. You know, we don't want to say, okay, you're going to be over here with the new people. And, you know, you guys are defending yourself, you know, we try to bring everybody in, include everybody immediately. So this way they can feel involved with the class and with the school. So this way, I mean, because everybody at our school is, we feel like we're a family and we always try to help each other, you know, in any type of aspect, whether it's on a martial arts level or whether it's on a personal level, like, you know, hey, I need someone to help me move or something like that. Well, hey, I got a truck. I can come help, you know, when you need me and stuff like that. So being able to include them immediately and get them started and not, you know, make them feel scared, you know, just encouragement. And that's what that big brother, big sister mentality of having that senior student pair up with them and work mm-hmm. with them and get them through the class.
I love the way you have your class set up, you know, like sort of like the big brother, big sister, you know, welcome them in, showing them the ropes. Because when I think about martial arts, you know, I took, you know, some martial arts way back in high school and I was Wing Chun. But, you know, it was more like the movie, you know, the TV series Cobra Kai, right? You're in there and you're just getting beaten by the kid, you know, because you're the new kid, right? So, you know, it's almost like initiation. They're just going to come and beat on you. And it's frightening for the first class. So, you know, from your experience teaching, you know, martial arts for so long, have any kid got so scared on his first class he never came back?
Nope. I've yet to have that happen, which is a blessing. And, you know, because I like to make everybody feel welcome. You know, yes, they may come in and try out a free class. And if they don't join, that's one thing. But as far mm-hmm. as like that Cobra Kai mentality where they've already signed up and then, you know, now they're just getting, you know, the tar beat out of them or they're just getting, you know, choked out and submitted all the time. And you know, I try not to do that because I was there at one point. It's like, okay, I don't want to be that new kid gets beat up. I even told my jiu-jitsu students, like when I first started training jiu-jitsu, they just kept submitting me and, you know, I'm a new white belt. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just sitting here. I'm just trying to survive. They say survive. So I was just trying to survive and, you know, and I made it through it. And then eventually I latched on to, one of my dear friends, you know, I want to mention his name, Professor Brad, you know, and he helped, you know, get me through the jiu-jitsu. And, you know, now we get together and we do old man jiu-jitsu. So because he's up in his 50s, too. So we're like, you know, training with each other and really getting each other through the martial arts and through the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he is like a big brother. And that's what I was saying. That big brother mentality is like someone coming in and just showing you how to, you know, oh, well, let's try this. Let's do this. Okay, well, if this doesn't work, let's see, can this work? How about if I put my hand this way as opposed to this way? You know, how can I make the choke better? Or, you know, sometimes we just roll around and it's like, ooh, I found some other submission by accident, you know, when we're doing something else. And now he and I, and we got this other guy that's also with us, Alex, you know, and we just train together on Sundays, you know, early in the morning, just working technique and just having fun. And then when we're in class, we also have fun, you know, during the class as well, because, you know, we're trying to figure out how to do things. And these guys are not small guys either. These guys are, you know, Brad's like 6'4" and, you know, wow. Yeah. And Alex is like, you know, 6'2" and I think he's like 250 or something like that. So these are some big guys I get to train with. But like I said, it's fun. It's a great workout. You know, we try to help each other. We try to help improve each other. And that's what mm-hmm. we should be doing. Another one of my favorite sayings that my Krav Maga instructor, A.L. Yanilov, says was, you know, the goal is to improve, not prove. So that always resonates with me.
I love that. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, you want to be constantly improving your skills. And it seems like you're constantly improving your martial arts. So here's a question that I'm very curious about because I'm a very big martial arts fan. How do you keep it all sorted out from all these different styles? You know, like do you fight one, you're punching and all of a sudden it turns into a praying mantis halfway through the punch while, you know, in the middle of a hairy situation? Like How does that all work? And, you know, how do you sort that out for your, you know, for your students?
So, you know, when it's funny you said that, because when I was training, when I just started when I just started training Krav Maga, I was still doing praying mantis kung fu.
Okay.
So there was a couple times when I'm doing like some sort of hammer fist to the rear, I'm doing a cat stance, and my first Krav Maga instructor, Larry Escher, was saying, "Why are you doing a cat stance? This isn't kung fu." Or sometimes when I'm supposed to do a what we call a 360 blocking Krav Maga, I do a mantis finger.
So, I love it.
So sometimes it does happen, but right. I do a pretty good job of what we call compartmentalizing.
Nice.
And trying to keep it, you know, okay, this is kung fu. I mean, I had to train myself really well to try to, okay, this is kung fu over here. Okay, stop doing the mantis finger, you know, keep the hand straight, you know, and doing all that. Stop doing the cat stance. We're not doing cat stances here. This is just a real turn and just hit them in the balls, you know, and it's like, you know, it's funny because, yeah, you said that, but yes, being able to compartmentalize, it takes some doing, but it's doable.
That's great. So for all the viewers out there, you know, what would you suggest for them to start? Like, just come in for a free class? Like, is your class teaching all the different martial arts, or do they choose one of the martial arts? How's that all work?
So we have Krav Maga, cardio kickboxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I also have a kids class, whereas the kids martial arts class, it is the hodgepodge of everything that I've learned over the last 34 years. It's got karate in it. It's got kung fu in it. It's got the Krav Maga. It's got Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's got some kickboxing in it. So it's an all-inclusive curriculum in the kids class. Now, mm-hmm. if someone wants to come in and just try out a class, we got to ask, okay, which one are you looking for? What is your interest? What is the goals? What are your goals for training Krav Maga? You know, oh, I want to, you know, learn how to defend myself and not get held up or something. So, or I just want to work out, but I don't like going to the gym, but, you know, I want to hit some stuff. Then they come to the kickboxing class, you know, and get a workout. Or they want to come in. And it's like, yeah, you know, I've been watching, you know, the UFC and stuff like that. I see these guys doing jiu-jitsu, and I thought that'd be really cool because I think that's more realistic, because a lot of times fights go to the ground. So I would like to learn how to defend myself on the ground. I was like, okay, then give jiu-jitsu a try. And that's how it starts. And then we figure out what else they want to do, you know, once they get started.
That's great. And one of the things that I did catch while you were talking there is for the children, they're learning a little bit of everything. And that's technically your form of martial arts. Maybe we should call that Dong Fu, you know, like just something for the kids, you know, because getting a little of everything. It's like, you should get credit for that.
It's funny because I was telling my students, it's like, you know, I'm mixing in a lot of stuff from everything that I've done in the past. It's like, I need to come up with some cool name for the system. So it's like, you know, just to pay homage to it. It's like, you know, I mean, I want to kind of pay homage to all the great instructors I've had and still have, you know, but also trying to keep it mine too. So, you know, just trying to come up with a name has been a really, really hard task for me to do so far.
That's great. So, you know, we are in Texas, and in Texas, literally everyone carries a gun, like, because it's legal to carry firearms in Texas, right? What are your thoughts on that? Like, you know, I know you have this course coming up that's going to be pretty important. But, you know, what are your thoughts on everyone carrying firearms? Should they all carry firearms? Do you think everyone knows what to do with their guns?
So I'm a big Second Amendment supporter. However, I am for strict gun laws. I am for, you know, the background checks. I am for all that because, no, not everybody should have a gun. Okay. I mean, I know there are people out there who have mental health issues and they need to have, you know, a professional doctor to, you know, help them through that. You know, being able to exercise your right to carry with the new law that just passed, the constitutional carry. Now, the constitutional carry, yes, you can carry. However, there are certain laws that you are not able to carry into, whereas somebody who has a license to carry can carry. So if there's like a 3005 sign, which means constitutional carry cannot carry into this establishment, but I have a license to carry, I can still carry into this establishment because the only sign I have to worry about is the 3006 or a 51%. Those are the signs I have to be more concerned with as a license carry holder. But, you know, I believe everybody should have, you know, some sort of training as well. So I'm all for that as well, you know, to make that as part of the restrictions. You know, if you're going to get your license to carry, you got to have some sort of basic pistol safety. And usually whenever I teach the license to carry, I usually have a combo package to where they do the basic pistol safety class, do that first, and then we'll do the LTC class. Because the LTC class only goes over the laws and regulations and consequences of the responsibility of carrying a firearm. Whereas the basic pistol class, we dive in deeper. We show you how to hold the gun. We show you how, you know, the mechanics of the gun, and we show you, you know, how to grip, how to line up your sights and all that good stuff, as well as other important information.
So I know you're going to have this course coming up. You know, can you quickly explain what it's all about? And, you know, we're going to pop on the screen what your course is called and, you know, what's the course going to be helping people with?
So on July 28th, from 6:30 to 8:30 over at COTHA, Church of the Holy Apostles, I partnered up with former Houston, Texas player Amobi Okoye and his foundation. And we're doing a Surviving Against a Holdup self-defense seminar where we will show you how to be able to defend yourself in the event if someone holds you up or sticks you up with a firearm or for with a gun. And, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's it's $50, and $10 of that will go to Amobi Okoye's foundation.
I love that. I love that. Everyone, make sure they sign up for that course. Before we go, what is the best way for our viewers to reach out to you to start learning the first martial arts?
The best way to reach me is through my email, and that is right there at the bottom of the screen. It's info@dragonsdensda.com, or they can give me a phone call at 281-818-2035. Now, I know we get a lot of scam likelies and stuff like that, so if I don't answer, just please leave me a message and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can.
Perfect. Thanks for being a guest on our show and sharing your wisdom in the martial arts. I hope that our viewers is going to come in for at least your first trial class to check it out. You know, I'm going to come by too to check it out. I hope I don't get my ass whipped. But before we go, you know, thank you so much for the show. Coming up next, we're going to watch the biohacking tip for the week. Thanks, Mark. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christy Boyd Johnson.
And I'm Alicia Seymour.
And we are the Barefoot Learning Club. What if you could give your child the gift of real learning and a real education, one that takes away all the frustration and guilt and fear of failing and gives them the exact tools they need so that they can tackle anything?
Yeah, that's why we created the Barefoot Learning Club. It's our way to empower parents to give their children with the skills and knowledge they need to get ahead while making their education fun, exciting, easy, and effective.
Yes, we're all about ease and fun and real learning. Please, we invite you to check us out. We're focused on literacy. You can use us as a homeschool program. You can use us as a supplement to school. Anything works because we teach them how to read and do math in such a way that doesn't confuse them and make them feel like they can't do it. So please go to barefootlearningclub.com, and you can also schedule a chat with me if you like, and no pressure, just chat, ask me your questions, and we'd love to talk to you.
Enrollment opens on August 24th. But in the meantime, if you'd like, you can go join the wait list so that you can be the first to know when enrollment is open.
And you just might get some fun tips in your email box. All right. We look forward to meeting you. Ciao for now.
Hi, everyone. It's Andy from Focal Academy. And on today's biohacking episode, I want to talk about a better way to measure if you're being slightly overweight or maybe even heading towards obese. Recently, there's been an article by the AMA, the American Medical Association, and they say that measuring BMI is considered racist because it targets people that are overweight or obese. And doctors have been using this, you know, this old way of measuring, which uses your height and weight to calculate this number. And looking at this number, they'll consider if you are in a normal range or if you're overweight or if you're obese, right? And the numbers they use is like 18.5 to 24.9, which means that you're in normal range. And from 25.0 to 29.9, you are overweight. And if you have a number 30 and above, you're obese. The problem with this old BMI rating scale is they don't take in account of muscle tone or, you know, how dense muscle is. So with people that are athletes, they may be having a BMI of 25, 28, even 30, and looking at the old BMI scale, they would be considered overweight even though they are ripped with muscles, right? So of course muscle is heavier and denser than fat, so that would scale the BMI a little bit, right? So for me, you know, just for instance, I'm right around 165, I'm about 5'8". I think my BMI comes up to 25.4, which makes me overweight, according to doctors. But I honestly think I can probably lose a few more pounds, but I don't think I'm overweight. I think a much better way to measure if you're overweight or even obese is called the waist-to-hip ratio. And I'm going to show you how to do that very shortly. But I want you to understand why it's important to know if you're gaining too much weight, if you're being slightly overweight, or even being towards obese. Because when you're slightly overweight, your immune system is compromised. You're higher at risk for cancer. You're higher at risk for strokes. You're higher at risk for high blood pressure. Higher at risk for heart attacks, right? Even like dementia, Alzheimer's. There's so many things that happens when your body is overweight, and worse once you become obese. So now I'm going to talk about the waist to hip ratio. This is so much easier, and you can do this all in this, you know, all in the comfort of your own home. All you need is a little tape measure, and what you do is you measure around your waist, usually right around your belly button, which is usually the biggest part of your belly. And today I'm right around 33.5. I'm usually around 32.5 to 33, so yeah, I've been indulging a little bit over July 4th. But anyways, that's my waist. And then you measure the biggest part around your hips, and I am right around 39.5. And what you do is you divide your waist with your hip number, and my number is right around 0.84, 0.85. And the number you're thriving for men, is you want a 0.9 or better. So anything smaller than 0.9, you're good. That means your body's efficient, you can burn fuel, both fat and sugar fuel, and you're not overweight. But if your number is greater than 1.0, so 1.0, 1.01, and so on and so forth, that number is not so good. That means your body's not metabolic efficient and you're overweight. And for women, since women typically have slightly bigger hips, the numbers you want to be thriving for is you want a number of 0.8 or better, so 0.8, 0.79, 0.78, and so on and so forth. And if you have a number of 0.85 and above, like 0.85, 0.86, that means you're overweight. I hope that helps for those that's wondering if they are fit or not, if they're slightly overweight. Stop looking at your BMI numbers, because like I said, it doesn't really tell you a whole lot, especially if you're an athlete and you're exercising a lot, because like I said, muscle is more dense than fat, so it's going to be a little bit more heavier. Hope that helps. Try this at home. All you need is a trusty little tape measure, and you can do it all yourself. Remember, for men, 0.9 or better, smaller is good. And for women, it's 0.8 or small, that's good. I hope this tip helps everyone. Try it at home, and we'll see you next week.
So welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. So we've been doing this for like half a year, right? We're using this. So we want to use this segment here to kind of answer some of the questions we get over the months. So to kick it off, let's talk about something called fake meat.
Yeah, fake meat. Literally, that's what we mean, fake meat, because especially when it comes to hamburger patties. I'm not going to mention brands, but I'm sure you see them all. They're at McDonald's, Kentucky. They're everywhere. And a lot of them, they use like lentils and sometimes use portobello mushrooms and even the latest Beyond Burger, right? They look like beef. It actually bleeds, right? You know, when you're cooking, it actually bleeds. Like, how is that even possible? So before we go any further, you know, we're not very big fans of these, you know, Beyond Burgers because it may market to you that they're vegetarian, but what is all the chemicals holding this stuff together?
Well, so actually I'm talking about the next phase in fake meats. It's called a cultivated meat. And it's the latest thing, and it's a lab-grown animal cell that somehow they turn it into meat. In the U.S., they just approved the sale of cultivated meat, and there are two California companies that are already selling it. And, you know, U.S. isn't even the first country that starts selling it. They approved it. Singapore is actually the first country that allowed the sale of cultivated lab-grown meat.
So since it's grown from an animal cell, it's not vegan, right?
I would say not.
It's still based on part of an animal, and it sort of reminds me of, you know, the original Jurassic Park movies where they took the DNA out of some little amber from some little animal or fly or whatever it was, and then turned that into dinosaurs. And, you know, from my understanding, where they're getting the cells for these cultivated meat is actually from cow fetuses or unborn baby cows.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's not vegan, and it's definitely not natural. And the selling point that they're doing is like, this is supposed to be environmentally friendly, but I think it's really early to say. And I know that raising cows takes a lot of land and natural resources, and they emit methane. Sometimes we can smell it in the backyard, and it wasn't pleasant.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, that smell, not pleasant at all. But you know, when we're eating meat, we're always eating grass-fed, grass raised, right? Like they're walking around. We see the cows, they walk around a lot in Texas. So, you know, try to eat as natural as possible.
Yeah, I mean, lab grown, it doesn't mean it's environmentally friendly. Now it might be because they're producing in small batches, but when it becomes a big thing, there's a lot of demand. Things could change. You could move it to a bigger and manufacturing thing, and it's going to be maybe pollution, maybe not. We don't know yet. I think it's too early to tell.
I totally agree. We'll be right back after this short break. When we hear chronically, we tend to think about chronic diseases and pains, but it doesn't have to be. You can be chronically healthy. Having a chronically healthy life means everything to us. Life stands for longevity, independence, family, and environment. And when you have these four things figured out, your life is going to be beautiful.
Our biggest threat to our health is hidden in plain sight. It is in our water. We can't see the poison and the radiation in our waters, but it is hurting us. Our soils are so depleted of nutrients, and when our soils are depleted, so are our foods. Our air is filled with pollution and chemtrails, that there are days when we can't even go out and breathe the air. All these threats that we can't see, we can't hear, and we can't feel, but it is certainly hurting us.
There are more and more unexplained heart attacks, unexplained turbo cancer, unexplained young health adults suddenly dying for no explanation at all. Doctors are baffled. What happens when doctors don't have an answer? What happens if you ask your teacher a question and they don't have an answer for you? You go find your answer somewhere else.
And that's why we created Chronically Healthy Life. We are here to give you answers on how to keep you healthy and your family healthy. There is so much information, we can't tell you everything during our show, but we can keep you informed through our newsletters.
So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up for our newsletters. It is free and it is our gift to you. We want you to have a chronically healthy life, and we are here to help you get there. So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up. And when you sign up, you also get a free downloadable book, our book, Gut Matters, to start you on your journey towards optimal health. Each week, we like to highlight a local business that we know and trust to help build out our community here in Texas. This week we have Hope Matthews from HM Consulting. Hi, Hope. How are you?
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is one of those episodes where we all know each other. You know, we had Mark on earlier.
Yes. So,
Hope, why don't you tell us a little bit more about HM Consulting, you know, what your mission is, and how are you helping the community?
Yes, absolutely. So HM Consulting, I founded the company 2 years ago as of October. My mission was to help business owners in the key areas that they're struggling in. And most of the key areas that they're struggling in is the three areas, time, team, and money. So what my team does, we come in and we help support them in those areas that they're struggling in to help their business grow. And if their business grow, it grows within the community and helps boost the community.
I love that. So you basically are helping businesses grow. So, yes. You know, what are the different areas that you can help them for their business?
So, yeah, so definitely we come in, we help with that administrative support. So we can come in and be a back-end support for you, working with your CRM systems. A lot of businesses come in and they need to manage their system, manage their database, manage their customers, their clients, but they don't have the staff or the time to do that. So we can come in and support them with that. We can be that engagement support. We can be that planning support. We can come in and overall help you with all those little detailed tasks that take up so much time and you never have enough time in the day. I mean, we have 24 hours and we probably need about 72 hours each day to get everything done. So we come in and we take back control of those tasks that you need done, and we help support you so your business can continue to grow.
I love that, because there's always menial tasks that, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs hate doing, like
yes.
calling or follow-ups, right? So your business can help any size company, even if they're just starting to grow, or even larger companies that's already expanded and want to grow even more, right?
Yes, exactly. We can start from those solo entrepreneurs, those mid-sized entrepreneurs, small businesses, medium-sized business, and even the larger businesses. So, you know, with my team and the connections that my team has, we can bring on other staff members. We can work together and partner with another company to come in and support you in all those areas. We're almost like a one-stop shop a little bit. So we like to make sure we sit down and listen to your needs as a business owner and what you're looking for and what your goals are. And we want to learn as much as about you and your business so we can better support you. And supporting you, if I need to bring in an additional partnerships and teams to be able to do that, that's what we do. We consult with you on that to bring in that additional support.
I love that, because you were talking about meeting with the business owner to figure out what they need, because I can tell you, even as a business owner myself, I don't know what I need sometimes. Having someone of you to come down and going through the motions of, you know, what we do and everything, it actually helps us move our focus to do things that we're better at and figure out how we can, get some of the more, stuff that we don't like doing, the more boring stuff to, you know, that we can filter out and where your company can come in and help with that.
Yes. So we sit down and we do, you know, intense conversations with you. We help streamline what you're looking with. With my experience, I've sat down with the business owners and there's like 1,000 things that they want to do, you know, so we have to really sit and listen and kind of categorize everything, prioritize everything and kind of draw up a plan. Okay, let's focus here. And what the next steps are. So there's always stages to what you're going to do. So me as being a consultant, I need to make sure that I'm listening to what your needs and your requirements are as for your business, set a really good game plan and move from there. And sometimes that's all you need, is to really set a really good game plan, put you on that right track, provide that support system, provide that partnership, provide that accountability partner within your business that continue to help grow.
I love that. I heard partnership. I heard accountability. You know, as business owners, we all need that, because sometimes we just aren't very accountable, right? You know?
Yes. Well, as a consultant, we help keep you accountable. So we help you work on those key areas. So that's our goal.
So Hope, what is the best way to, you know, to support you? What's the best way for people to reach out to you and, you know, inquire for the first meeting?
Yeah, so I'm really, really easy. You can email me directly. You can call me directly. The phone number that's listed on the screen, you can actually text that number. So it's text capability to reach out to me. We'll set up that free consultation. Your initial consultation or discovery call is always free. Let's sit down and talk about what your needs are and see if I can help you and bring in my other team members and my other partners to come help you.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Hope. And you know, a lot of people, for the people watching the show, Hope's going to be coming back as one of our special guests in September. So you don't want to miss that episode. But thank you for being our community business promo this week.
Thank you, Andy. See you soon. Bye, everybody.
We'll be right back after this short break.
This is Rico No Suave from the Rico No Suave Talk Show. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on E360 TV. Make sure you go under Positive Vibrations. Yes, we are here. I'll see you guys soon. Darling.
Hello. We are Mutts & Meows Rescue, a 501c3 nonprofit, foster based, no-kill group. Mutts & Meows Rescue pulls dogs and cats from surrounding shelters in the greater Houston area. We even pick up dogs and cats abandoned on the streets. Mutts & Meows Rescue is foster-based and rely on your donations to keep rescuing. To know more about us is to know more about our furry friends and help them find their forever homes. Come visit us at Mutts & Meows Rescue on Facebook today and decide how you can make a difference.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. We have some amazing guests today, huh?
Totally amazing. And my passions, right? You know, entrepreneur, right? You know, helping entrepreneurs grow the business with Hope. I think that's amazing. But of course, Mark, wow, you know, we're going to definitely have to go check out his dojo and get my ass whooped, right?
Are you sure you're going to do that? How does his philosophy compare to what you did before?
You know, I think for what I learned from Wing Chun, that was more of a defense rather than, you know, offensive. Right. And all I remember is I had so many bruises because we're playing on this wooden dummy that we're punching.
Okay, that makes sense. So who do we have next week?
Next week, we're going to have a brain coach, someone that's going to teach you more about how to use your brain.
Yeah, you need that.
I think we're all going to need that. Her name is Dominika Steinowicz. I hope I said her name right. She's going to be our guest next week. So make sure you set your time to watch the episode next week. Join us here on Fridays at 7 p.m. CST. You can watch past episodes at watche360tv.com in the Vitality TV network. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. We got a lot of comments on the show today. Thank you for watching our show. You know, we'd love to see more comments, to see more people giving us more comments on what they want to learn about, what they want to hear about, and maybe which guest they want to hear from. And, you know, always leave more comments on the Facebook page at Chronically Healthy Life. And, of course, you can rewatch this episode on our website in a day or two on chronicallyhealthylife.com or our YouTube channel. And, of course, email us at anything at chronicallyhealthylife.com.
See you next week.